All right. I have been looking forward to this morning. It's kind of a bittersweet moment in that we pass off some of the eighth graders, some of our eighth grade friends, into high school. But it's a sweet because we get to welcome all of you new students in here. But the great thing that I love about our community and most church communities is that we gather on Sunday mornings. We get together and we make it a priority, many of us, and if you don't, I'd encourage you and your family to make it a priority to be here on Sundays, because we have an opportunity to worship and we have an opportunity to learn about who God is and better understand what it means to follow him. And that's the goal. So for you guys this morning, because some of you guys are new, I wanted to just take this opportunity for the next 2 weeks and kind of just give a general vision, kind of a hope for what I see Overflow Junior High as. This is my sixth school year that I'm going into as junior high pastor. And before that, I was a small group leader for a really long time in junior high. And I absolutely love what this place is because I love you guys. You guys are what makes this what it is. Overflow is not a place that you go. Overflow is a group of people, and it's us. We are Overflow. But I think it's important that as you guys are, for those of you guys that have been around, and then for those of you guys that are new, for to have an understanding of, like, why are we here? Like, what is my hope? What's Cameron's hope? What are your leaders' hope for you guys in these years? And I know some of you guys aren't technically in junior high till seventh grade, but we call it junior high here, sixth through eighth grade at Overflow. And I know, I'm going to use the word junior high, I know some of you guys are still in fifth grade and you haven't finished out your year. But just think of it from the Overflow lens. So these years of your life, ages 10 through 15 or whatever that is what I'm talking about when I talk about junior high this morning. Sound good? Sweet. So junior high, these years can be tough. They can be tough for a variety of different reasons. One being, it's kind of this awkward stage of life in between childhood and adulthood. It's this transition group of years where you're kind of figuring out, like, am I a kid still, or am I becoming an adult? Like, what does it mean to be me right now? And I remember it so well. It's the time of where you're starting to get older, your bodies are changing. My voice has been cracking this morning because I'm a little sick, but when I was growing up, I had, like, this really high-pitched, raspy voice that never really got much deeper. It did, though. But I had, like my voice cracked. Like, junior high, 10 through 15, it was just, like, crack fest. Like, every word would be like, ah! And it was awkward. I couldn't control it, but it was just there. I started growing armpit hair. That was weird. You're starting to have to use deodorant, but you don't know until someone's like, you smell. And I'm like, I do? And then you're like, okay, I got to wear deodorant. You're growing, like my body wasn't proportionate. I had, like, skinny legs, but was a little bit rounder, and I had a bowl cut. It was really awkward. This is what I was in sixth grade. Why are you guys laughing at me? I loved surfing, and this was my first brand new surfboard that I got at Andy's house, actually. It's on his couch. And my parents gave me this new surfboard, and I literally probably looked at it like this for like 2 weeks, and then I finally surfed it. But yeah, what an awkward haircut. And then eighth grade, I like really progressed. My hair got a little smoother, and I got a lot cooler. And less smelly. And like, I remember looking at this picture thinking I looked so good. And now I look back and I'm like, darn it. Like, what a bummer. But the really important piece for me about my hair, because I would always flip it, which I think God's like punishing me for. But this guy right here, I always made sure that these hairs were lined up. So I'd flip it and it needed to be smooth across and then lined up there. That was really important. So, anyways, but junior high was super awkward. Another thing that's awkward about junior high, your interests are starting to become your own, right? Where you're starting to be like, wait, I like this thing, not because my friends like it or my family likes it, but like, I like this. Like, for me, it was cooking, which was weird, but I like loved cooking. How many of you guys like cooking? Come on, right? So before, I'd like cook with my mom sometimes, or I'd barbecue with my dad, and I liked it. But then there was this period where I thought I was like Emeril Lagasse, which you guys even know Emeril? I thought I was Bobby Flay or Guy Fieri or whatever. But I thought I was, like, so cool. And, like, my claim to fame was I would, like, manipulate Hot Pockets into, like, something else. So I'd infuse ranch dressing into a buffalo chicken Hot Pocket. Or another thing is I would do Nutella quesadillas. Think about it. Don't say you yet, Aiden. So what I would do is I would get a tortilla. I would cook it like you would for a quesadilla. I'd put Nutella and then like strawberries and bananas and then like powdered sugar at the end. And it was so delicious. And then maybe a little scoop of ice cream if I was feeling a little naughty. But it was so good. But I just like loved cooking, fell in love with cooking shows because I loved it, not because of anything else. And it was like, this is like my thing. So your interests are becoming your own. But you're still kind of treading that line of like, I like what my friends like. I do what my friends do. I like what my family likes. I do what my family does. But then you have your own stuff. And you're trying to figure out what that looks like, how you're going to live because of that, all that. Starting to like girls for guys. Girls don't really like guys yet, but yeah, they do, for sure. Natalie's nodding her head in the front. Yeah, it's those times where all of a sudden these new emotions come up where you're like, what is happening to my body? Like, what is happening to my mind? Where you're starting to look at guys and girls differently, and it can be really awkward to like, what do I do with these emotions? What do I do with these feelings? Junior high, welcome to it. It's great. And then another thing, which I actually think is the most challenging thing about junior high, is friendships. Friendships start to change. You have a lot of longstanding like childhood friendships, or maybe like you and your siblings are best friends. And then you get to junior high and you start to be more aware of like what people think of you. So you stop hanging out with a certain person, or someone starts making bad decisions and you kind of want to keep being friends. But so it's just this awkward time of life where you're figuring out friendships. Friendships are changing and that hurts, but you don't know what to do about it. So it can be really awkward during that time. But with that, although junior high can be tough, which I can attest to junior high being some of the toughest years of my life, junior high is foundational. These years of your life, these preteen to teenage years, are foundational. I love this time of life, particularly as someone that has the opportunity to get to know you guys and journey alongside you. For so many reasons, I love this age. I love that this is a time of life where you guys are open to new ideas. You guys are open to learning and growing. You guys aren't too cool yet. Wait till eighth grade before you get there. But you actually look up to people who are older and wiser than you, and you want to emulate them. You're at a stage of your life where you are figuring out your interests. So things that weren't cool before are now cool now, and you want to just pursue them with all that you have. You're starting to figure out friendships, so you're open to new friendships. And I just think about this time as such a moldable, shapeable time of your life, and it is so important. And one of the things that hurts me the most is when I'm talking to people who don't really understand what I do for my job, but also just don't understand the time of life where you guys are at. Junior high can be just kind of this like pass by time of life. This time where it's like, oh yeah, junior high was like nothing, right? Junior high is just these like two, three years of life where I was awkward and weird, and I want to kind of forget about it and move on and to think about high school and college. But I don't believe that, and I don't want you guys to believe that. I want you to look at right now in your life that this is a time of your life where you can begin to lay the foundation of who you are right now and who you're going to become in the future. This is an incredibly important time of your life. God willing, we're on this earth for a long time. So you have a lot of life ahead of you, and there's a lot of growth to be had, a lot of mistakes to be made, a lot of grace to be received, but this is a time where you guys can absorb and learn and grow, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But I think what's really important is that when we look at what does it mean to lay a foundation, what does it look like for us to begin to ask these big The biggest personal life questions you can ask. This is the time of life where you begin to ask the questions about identity, about who am I? Like, who am I really? Not just what my parents say that I am, but like, what does it mean to be me, Trevor? What does it mean to be me, Ella, Olivia? Like, who am I? This is a time of life where you begin to ask those questions. Or who will I become? Or what makes me valuable? Do I matter at all? Or questions about purpose, like why, like what am I here for? Am I here for a reason, or am I just here on this speck of dust in the middle of the universe? Like, What am I here for? Is there any purpose in my life? How should I live my life? What decisions should I make? And how do I even know if I'm making the right decisions? These are the kind of questions that if you haven't already started to thinking about, I encourage you to start asking those questions. And I promise you that you will begin to ask these questions. But this is the time of life where you do that. And where we go to find answers to these questions really matters. Where we go to seek truth about who we are and what we're here for matters. And I think the place that makes the most sense for us to go is ultimately God's word, the source of truth. We have access to how God thinks about these questions in this book. Now the Bible, for those of you that don't know, is 66 different books written by 40 plus different authors over 2,000 years. And there's different genres. There's poetry in here, in the Psalms. There is historical accounts. There are eyewitness accounts of people who are actually there walking with Jesus. And we could go in here and kind of this one big story all put together and learn about who God is and what it means to follow him by understanding this. And that's what we get to do each Sunday. So this morning, I'm going to have everyone turn to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24 through 27. It's the first book that we have in our Bibles in the New Testament. So I'll give you guys some time to get there. But chapter 7 is an account of Jesus had this like monumental teaching where called the Sermon on the Mount. How many of you guys have heard of the Sermon on the Mount before? Okay, some of us. So for those of you that haven't heard about it, Jesus had been for about 3 years had a public ministry where he was going out and he was a rabbi and he was teaching people what it means to love God and follow him. And he was going around, he was teaching, he was performing miracles, he was healing people, and he started to draw a crowd. But he had this group of disciples, these apprentices that were learning from Jesus how to live and how to love God. And at one point, there's this huge crowd around, but Jesus began to just teach his disciples of what it means to follow him. And it's Jesus has some practical stuff. He's got some really hard stuff that he teaches, but he essentially teaches what it means to be a follower of Jesus and how we should live our life. And at the very end of this teaching, he wraps it up with this. And this is what I want us to kind of focus on and frame this morning. So chapter 7, verse 24 is where we're going to start. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. So my dad's an architect, and I asked him one time about like what's important about a foundation. And I'll never forget what he told me because it's so interesting. But what he told me was, if you think about it, anything from Legos to the Empire State Building starts with a foundation. It's the first thing that's laid down to ensure that whatever is built can function the way it was designed to function. How many of you guys build Legos before? So if you build a really big tower and you don't build a foundation, how easy is that tower to knock over? Really easy, right? All you have to have is you spent all this time building it, and your sibling runs in the room, and or your parents go like, hey, I'm home, and they step, and the whole thing falls, right? Or even more drastically, something like the Empire State Building, it's really important that you have a firm, solid, deep, strong foundation so the Empire State Building can be what it needs to be, which is this awesome, really tall office building. On the other hand, we see buildings that have been built with not firm foundations, and they definitely cannot function the way that they should, especially when storms and things come. So this is a building in San Francisco called the Millennium Building, and we do a a yearly mission trip to either LA or San Fran. We went to San Fran this year, and this building was completed a few years ago, and it's like million-dollar condos. So people have basically houses that go all along that side of the building that they've spent millions of dollars on because it has a view of the whole city and the ocean, and it's absolutely beautiful. And then there's also office buildings, and it's meant to be like the crown jewel of San Francisco, like the best building ever made. It's the tallest building west of the Mississippi, so not counting anything on the East Coast, it's the tallest building, and I think there's one in LA that's pretty close. So they built it, but real quick, this is so sad, they learned that one of the sides of the building is sinking. Because San Francisco, if you didn't know, is actually just a big mound of sand. San Francisco is a man-made, like, island, peninsula, that they made from something that was naturally there, but they added onto it with just built-up sand. And then they built concrete on top and all that kind of stuff. So they built this building. Great. It's an amazing building. But the foundation is built on something that is not firm and not stable. Because of that, they're beginning to sell off or buy back all of the condos. The company that built the building has to buy back every condo with their own dime. So this company is going to be pretty much no longer in a couple years because they have to buy back everything and somehow figure out how to fix that foundation after they've already built it. I say that because I think what Jesus is talking about here, I love the image that Jesus gives. I love when Jesus goes into, which he often does, these parables, these images that we can actually see with ourselves, for ourselves. Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock, a firm foundation." And for us, as a church, but especially for us as junior highs, these are the years that we can begin to build our house on a rock or on sand. By the decisions that we make, by the truth or lies that we believe about ourselves, about the world around us, these are the type of choices, these are the type of things that determine whether or not right now we're building our house on a firm foundation or we are like the Millennium Building where we're building our house on something that will not stand no matter how, from the outside, how good our lives look. When storms come, which storms could be anything, it could be hard times, it could be trials. I promise that if not in junior high, sometime in your life, you will go through some sort of trial if you haven't already. For some of us, we've already gone through trials, like our parents getting divorced, or friendship issues, or a family health crisis, right? These are things that test our faith, where we're like, God, where are you? We experience that internal doubt. We experience the feeling like, well, I don't even know what to believe, right? So some of us in this room right now, we're experiencing that. Some of us, thankfully, maybe we haven't yet, but I promise you there will be a time when something will happen, something will come. It's not if, it's when, where we'll experience a storm. We'll experience a trial. And if we have a firm foundation rooted in Jesus and his way of life, we have a chance. We have a chance to continue to live the way that Jesus has called us to live. But if we don't, it's hard to say what will happen. So the question is, what are we building our foundation on? And there's a lot of options of what we can build our foundation on. There's a lot of messages in our culture about what it means to live a good life. A lot of messages, right? Some of them are focused on success. Like if you can just have this amount of success, then your life will be full. Then you'll live like that, the abundant life. Like this is what life is about. If you can get good grades, go to the best college and have a great job and then be able to buy a house, like you've arrived. That's what life is all about. Right, and that might be what the foundation is laying right now, as you're starting to think towards that kind of future. For some of us, maybe it's more actually about people like knowing who we are. Like we just love it when people, we all like it when we're liked by other people. But maybe our focus is when we look to the future about like what we want our life to be, is we just want to be known and loved by people. Like we want as many people as we can to know us and to like us. We want to be influencers with a lot of Instagram followers. And if we can be that kind of person, like we've arrived. Like that is the abundant life. And the decisions and the things that we're making now are towards that goal. Or maybe it's a mixture of a bunch of different things. But there's a lot of different options that our culture says, if you do this, you'll live a full life. For me, I remember my number one when I was your guys' age was 100% I wanted to be liked by other people. And everything I did, whether it was cracking jokes in class and wanting people to laugh at me, or I would be really nice to people because I wanted them to be nice to me back, but I really wanted to be liked by other people. And so I began to essentially build building blocks towards that goal of if I could just do these certain things. But I remember there was a time when I realized that I was starting to lay some pretty bad foundations down towards that goal of being liked by other people. First time I remembered it, I was at a movie theater with a good group of friends that I had, that I started to have that sense like maybe I shouldn't be hanging out with these guys as much as I am. But I really want them to like me, and if I want them to like me, I need to hang out with them, and I need to do certain things and act a certain way, wear certain clothing. So I did that. And there was one day when I realized that this wasn't a good thing. I went to Big Newport to go see a movie. I forget what movie it was, but we would literally go to the movie theaters because it was like probably like 10 bucks a movie back then. Now it's like 20 at Big Newport. But we would go there like every weekend. And sometimes we'd even sneak into the movies. And there's one time where there's this huge fire hydrant outside of Big Newport. And I was just with like a group of four buddies of mine that we didn't make the best decisions when we were together. I'll just say that. And one of my friends was the kind of guy who just like, when he thought of something, he just did it. And you're like, wait, no. And he would do it. So big fire hydrant, somehow an unlocked lever that was on this huge fire hydrant. And he walks over and he's like, I'm going to pull it. And we're all like, dude, don't pull it. And he pulls it. And in the air shoots like 100 feet in the air, like upside down waterfall shooting up in the air of water. And the fire alarms go off and everyone has to evacuate Big Newport. And he runs. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So we run because we're like right in the circle with him. So we run across the street to Fashion Island, kind of by like where Forever 21 is right now. So we're running, we're sprinting, and then I just kind of like stop, me and my other buddy stop, and the security guard catches up to us, grabs us, sits us down, and is like, you guys need to call your friend right now and get him back here. I'm taking both of you guys to juvenile hall. And I was like, oh man, like how did I get myself in this situation? My friend eventually was found. He ran into Fashion Island and the police found him and we were let off. But I remember that like first moment, and some of you guys maybe have these moments where you just kind of realize like, what am I doing? Like those wake up moments where it's like, this isn't good. Like this isn't worth it. Like it's not worth it to be liked by these guys to be put in these kind of situations. Another thing that I thought I could build a foundation on was sports. I love sports, still love sports. I'm very competitive. I love using my body to be active, and I loved football growing up, baseball, water polo, all those things, surfing. And one of the things that I loved about sports was I loved the sports side of things, but I loved the attaboys. Like I loved it when my coach would like pat me on the back and say like, great job, Lawrence. Or I'd love it when I would do something good and kind of have that like that moment of success of like, yeah, like I'm worth something. But what I realized was over time when other people got the attaboys and I didn't, and I wasn't on the starting lineup, or I got injured and I couldn't perform the way that I wanted to perform or achieve what I wanted to achieve, just that moment of like, it's not gonna deliver. Like I can't actually fill that hole that I have in me. I can't lay a foundation on sports. Like that's not enough. And those were all realizations that I had that helped me see that the only firm foundation that we can have is on Jesus and his love for us and his way of life. And I'm still on this journey, maybe just a few steps ahead of you guys. But the more that I'm on this journey, the more confident that I am that all the answers to those big personal questions, they can be found in Jesus. And how are we to live our life? The most full way that we can live our life is found in Jesus' way of life. And that is what I hope that we can have as a community, that we could point one another towards Jesus, what he thinks of us, his love for us, and how he lives and how he calls us to live. Like, that is where full life comes from. That is where a life full of purpose, full of freedom, full of goodness, like really good things, full of beauty, like the way that you can, if you look at the world through the eyes of the Creator, the world opens up in so many new amazing ways. And truth, man, we live in a world that says so many confusing messages about what is true and what is good. But when we look to Jesus, it is clear. It's clear what is true about reality, what's actually true. My hope for us is that we can become the kind of people that can have our antennas up for those kinds of things, that are so aware of Jesus and his presence with us, that we just look at the world around us and we experience what is good and true and beautiful and purposeful and free. And that is what I want. Not the things that that may feel like something that we can build a foundation on, but in the end are just empty. They're just empty. And I think that if we can do that, if we can begin, right? It's overwhelming to think of like needing to arrive somewhere. But if we can just look at this time of our life of begin or continue to just build on this foundation, just build on following and practicing how Jesus has asked us to live, if we can just begin to do that, then we have a chance that when hard times come, when trials come, when doubts come up, we trust Jesus. We know that he is with us. We know that his way is best. And we can begin to preach that truth to us and know that he's with us in that. So, Overflow, we are here to journey alongside you guys. Myself, your small group leaders, we're here to be with you guys, just a few steps ahead of you in our own journey, but just to help guide you in these years of junior high and high school so that when you leave high school, you would have more than just a firm foundation, but you'd begin to become the kind of person that Jesus has made you to be. You go out into the world and you can be that kind of person. So here is our hope for you. And I have five pretty simple hopes for you guys that kind of ground how we think about journeying alongside you guys through junior high and high school. And they're really simple. So stay with me. Ultimately, like I've already said, our hope is that you begin to build a foundation on Jesus and his way of life. And that starts with really understanding God's love and his grace for you. That you are broken, that you are sinful. We are all in the same boat in that regard. But God loves you so much that not out of anything that you've done for him or any way that you've earned it, he has graciously poured out his love. And the greatest evidence of that is Jesus on the cross. So the first thing is that my hope is that we would truly begin to understand how deep and wide and big God's love is for you. And that would overflow into every aspect of your life. That is, as you taste and you see and you understand God's love for you, that would affect and overflow into your relationships with your friends and your family and your future. That is what overflow is about, that you would really understand what matters most, and that is God's love for you. But with that, here are some things that I hope for us. The first one is that we would be curious and seek truth. We'd be curious and seek truth. We live in a world where at the edge of our fingertips, mostly this, we can look up the answer-ish to anything that we have, right? Like, my go-to is when I have a question, I go to Google almost every time, right? And I say, I have a sinus infection. What do I do? Or I want to know how to make cake. How do I bake it, right? And you have that like that. And I think that's amazing. Like, this is freaking awesome that we have access to the internet and we get to learn all these things really quick. But what's scary about it is I think that if we give ourselves over to this and give us ourselves over to the fact that we have access to those things, we can lose curiosity. We can lose wonder in discovering truth on our own. And my hope for us is that we would be curious, that we'd begin to ask the big questions, that we would have the freedom to do that here in this safe environment, and that we would seek truth in God's word in the world around us, that we would actually seek to understand what is real, what is true about us in the world around us, and what is true about God. So my hope for us is that we would begin to ask really honest questions, that we'd be curious, and that we would seek truth. But with that, as we seek truth and as we're curious, it's really important that we learn to think clearly and carefully. One of the things that we do on Wednesday nights that you guys will learn real soon, but a lot of us know, and what do we do on Wednesday nights? Small groups. What do we do in small groups? We discuss. Discussion is an activity where we gather together and we open up God's word and we try to figure out what's going on there. We seek truth together. And one of the greatest things about discussion is that that is where we can safely learn how to think clearly and carefully, that we can begin to discern what is truth and what is not, that we can begin to think about what is a good argument and what is a bad argument for something. We can learn to think on our own, that we don't need Google every time, or we don't have to ask our leader or our parent, but we can actually begin to think critically about the world around us. That when someone says something, we don't just take it as truth because someone said it, whether that be here or outside, at school or anywhere, but we begin to humbly think carefully and clearly about the world around us. And that is a skill that we have to learn. We have to work to learn how to do that. And I hope that this can be a place where we can do that. I hope that we can grow in prayerfulness. Not just pray more, not just pray before every meal and when we're at church, but that we would actually become prayerful people. And we talked about this, for those of you that have been around, earlier in the year, about like what prayer is and what it means to become prayerful people. And prayer is any way that we're communicating with God. And that can be these set-aside times to do just prayer, but it can also just be throughout the day acknowledging God with you and conversating with him. It can look like confessing your sins to God, ways in which that you haven't been living the way that God wants you to live. It could be praising and thanking God for the things that he's done and who he is. It could be asking God for things that you need or you want to see happen. Right? These are all ways that we can pray. And I hope that we can become prayerful people. I hope that we can develop a hunger. I think I spelled develop wrong, did I not? Doesn't matter. You get it. I hope that we can develop a hunger for God's word. A hunger for God's word. We all know what it feels like to be hungry, right? I'm hungry right now for food. But it's that feeling of like, oh, I just want this right now, right? We know that feeling of being hungry for something. My hope and prayer for us is that we'd become people that our hunger for God's word would grow, that we'd be hungry to know more from this, that we would seek truth in God's word, that we want to know God more. We want to know what it means that he loves us. We want to know what it means to be human. We want to know all of these things, and we're hungry for God's word. We're hungry for him to speak to us. I hope that this can be a place where that can happen. My other hope for us is that, and this one's mostly just an encouragement for you guys, is I hope that you guys get plugged in. Here's what I mean by that. I hope that we can be a group that connects to one another, that you guys would get plugged in, both like come to all the events and be here on Wednesdays and Sundays and all of that, but that you would really look at this not just as a place that you show up, but as people that you want to connect to, whether that be a leader, myself or Cameron, or more importantly, one another, that you guys would plug in and you guys would buy into what we're doing here as a junior high and high school family. So my simple encouragement for us in that is that you guys would grab a summer calendar and you'd get involved this summer, that you guys would be around, come to beach days, come to our junior high summer nights, be here on Sunday mornings. Connect with us. We want to hang out with you. We want to get to know you. But this is a great way to get started and continue to get plugged into our family here, because our goal is to journey alongside you, is to point you to Jesus, and to help you begin to build a foundation on him, his love for you, and his way of life. And I promise you that that is the most fulfilling way that we can live.